Of course. Beth, how does what Dr. Sipala has described, is it similar to or different from what the suburban hospital Johns Hopkins offers?
It's very similar. And what we do, if somebody needs inpatient, we assess that and we refer them out. We try to do a appropriate match, but we do the in the outpatient intensive part. And basically, and the question I always get when a person calls in, a family member or actually the potential patient, him or herself, is, well, what do you do? And so quickly, when somebody comes to our program and they're admitted into the intensive outpatient program, they come to the suburban center for 4 hours every day, Monday through Friday. And what they do is they have a variety of different groups, and the groups are led by a multidisciplinary staff.
I would think that detoxification is much more difficult on an outpatient basis than on an inpatient basis. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely correct. And if somebody needs detoxification, then we look for the hospital to do a short medical detox if appropriate.
Have you, by this time, determined whether addiction is in fact the case, and wouldn't each and every person who's labeled an addict have to go through detox?
Not necessarily a medical detox within the hospital walls.
I see.
And we do assess that when the patient comes in for their evaluation. We determine medically, number one, what do we need for the safety of the patient. If they don't, and a fair amount of people that come to us are not in need of an inpatient medical detox, then we get them into the program as quickly as possible because the window of opportunity is very small. So the crisis is happening. We know that they are going to be an appropriate patient for our outpatient program.
So, how can you be sure with a person who comes in for 4 hours a day that that person is not continuing the addiction the other 20 hours of the day?
Great question. One of the things that we use as a tool is drug screens and breathalyzations. So that is part of the treatment program. Certainly, as was already mentioned, it being a chronic disease, there can be relapses. And one of the things that's important about treatment is longevity. The longer we can keep people engaged in the program, the better for their recovery.
So, Ann Fletcher, this is where the statement you made earlier comes into play, that it's not clear whether inpatient or outpatient treatment is the more successful.
Right, and Beth is talking a lot about the importance of individualizing care, seeing each person as an individual. And one of the things that was probably the most striking to me in writing the book was lack of individualizing care. There's a lot of individualizing and assessment, looking at individual needs. And as Dr. Mark Willenbring, who was very prominent at the NIH years ago, but now he's back in Minnesota where I live, said, is we do a highly individualized assessment and then we give the same treatment to everybody in the country. Another expert said to me, our number one intervention is group. And if you don't like group, we do more group. I was surprised that at many prominent 12-step high-end treatment programs where people are paying as much as $25,000 a month for treatment, they're in groups, some kind of group treatment, education, or therapy, up to 8 hours a day. I did not expect to see that. I thought there would be much more individual treatment, one-on-one. They may be getting 3 to 5 hours of individual treatment a week. The other thing that I saw over and over again was 12-step-based treatment, disease model treatment, which is fine when it works. We do know that people who go to AA or some kind of 12-step program get involved. That means get a sponsor, go to meetings regularly, get involved and socialize with people afterwards. They do tend to do better. But we also know that 5 to 8 out of every 10 people who go to AA after treatment, when they're referred, drop out within 9 months. That's what the research shows. They're not told about other options. So the sad thing to me were the stories that I heard over and over again of going to these kinds of treatment programs 10, 20 times. In fact, one of the last people I interviewed for the book, he was referred to me by a non-12-step treatment program. And the person who referred me said, you really want to talk with this guy. He's been to rehab 20 times, spent $500,000. I said, you know, I can't do another interview. I've already conducted 100. I've been to 15 rehabs for the book. And I said, I have enough interviews. And he said, no, you really want to talk to this man. And I interviewed him, and it was a heartbreaking because he was still looking. He was still trying. And at the end, I sat down and interviewed the entire staff of doctoral level psychologists at the non-12-step-based rehab where the man finally went for help. And I said, why did this have to happen? Why did he go to these places over and over again when he said, the 12 steps don't work for me? Hmm. And he was told over and over that something was wrong with him, and he wasn't told about alternatives. And he had co-occurring psychological problems that were never addressed in all of the times that he went to rehab. I heard these stories too many times.
Alternatives like what?
Well, instead of having the treatment focus on the 12 steps and getting to accept that he had a disease, you could have treatment that was based in a completely different way, things called cognitive behavioral therapy, which don't focus on the 12 steps but are more skills-based, having you focus on... Now, 12-step-based programs do incorporate some of those strategies, but they are not the focus of the treatment. Learning new ways to deal with your thoughts, your depression, your ways of handling stress, that sort of thing. Treatment that introduces you to alternative support groups. You don't have to just go to AA. You could go to Smart Recovery. You could go to Women for Sobriety. I talked to treatment program staff who had never heard about these support groups that are similar to AA in that they provide support in the community, but they have a completely different philosophy.
Beth, are there also chemical interventions?
Sure. There are now, pharmaceutical aids out there that can help with craving. And again, it comes back to individualizing treatment. And we have found the same thing at Suburban in terms of offering different options for people for smart recovery. We actually have a smart recovery meeting on site Tuesday night.
Fantastic.
We have a small alumni AA meeting. You really, and again, I'm dating myself, is that starting in this field in 1978, fresh out of college, it was 21-day, 28-day programs.
It's probably how you were trained, right? That everybody goes to AA. And that's
where
what you were told.
Yeah, and if you didn't go to AA, then you were out of the program. And so now we really have, there's still the program stuck in the old model. But I believe this is an exciting time where science is on our side. We are helping patients look at alternatives. Behavioral, thoughts, cognitive behavioral therapy, different people running the groups. We have a nurse that comes up and talks about nutrition. We have a clinical psychologist that comes twice a week. We have addiction therapists. We have licensed clinical social workers. It's a mix. So you really get to what is going on with this person and how can we address it? How can we help?
Dr. Sapalai, how many individuals is the better word who come to Hazelden? How much time do they spend in groups? How much individual attention are they given?
If they're in one of our residential sites, they're going to have group therapy approximately 3 hours a day. They'll meet with their individual counselor a couple times a week for a half hour to an hour per session. And they'll have psychologic testing upon admission to the program. And if there's a need for mental health intervention, they'll see a psychologist on a regular basis. That could be anywhere from once a week to several times per week. And they'll see a psychiatrist on an individual basis. So we have multiple options within the course of their treatment at our sites.
Dr. Marvin Sapala, the Hazelden Foundation. And you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. Here's a wonderful email from David who says, how does one assess whether he or she should be seeking treatment? I have a steady job. my drinking doesn't really affect my personal or